Well, fantastic. If you're just joining us now, welcome to Northgate this morning. My name's Alan. I am the youth young adults guy here. Where are my youth at? There's definitely some people that weren't youth that whooped and hollered there. Definitely. But hey, if you're wondering, hey, why is he up there speaking today? Pastor Evan is gone on a nice little weekend getaway this weekend. And so I get the privilege of kind of continuing on with the series that we've been doing here at Northgate. And as you can see, this is a very common phrase. If you've been around church or anything religious really having to do with Christmas, this phrase, he will be called a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is a common scripture that gets thrown out around Christmas time. It's from Isaiah chapter 9 in the Bible, and it's this prophecy that was given hundreds of years before Jesus was ever even born. And it was speaking of who God would be, who God would reveal himself as in this Messiah figure that would come to save his people. And so we've been working through this this passage, essentially, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. We're in week 3, Everlasting Father. And if you kind of missed the last couple weeks, I'd encourage you, check out the other sermons online. You can check them out at ngate.ca/media. And they're great. You can get yourself caught up. But the good news is, if you have missed, you don't have to, like, it's not like one of those TV shows where if you miss a couple episodes, you're just totally left in, like, you're like, what's going on? We're just picking up these with Everlasting Father. Now, this is an interesting one because Evan made a statement when we first started this series, and it really relates to today's topic. And he said, through Jesus, God came to give us more than just salvation tips. He came to give us relationship. And out of all these four things, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father definitely has the most kind of relational type of feel to it, doesn't it? And there's like this, there's this intimate, personal tone that we hear with the words Everlasting Father, especially that word Father. And now for some of us, the word father, that may evoke a lot of emotion. And for me, it does. It reminds me of my earthly father, of course. And I got to be honest, I feel like I actually was pretty blessed growing up to have a pretty great dad. You know, I have tons of great memories with my dad. I can think of, just practical things like mowing the lawn together, raking leaves together. I can think of camping trips, you know, like I can think of this one camping trip that we had. And I'm from Alberta, and we went to northern Alberta to Whitecourt. Anyone ever been to Whitecourt? And we went to Whitecourt, and we were visiting some people, but we were also camping. And this is good. Like, I'm from a family of four boys, and we used to tent. And so none of that glamping stuff. It was just tenting. And we were in this tent, and I can remember, like, the tent had been through its paces, you know? And I don't know if my dad missed out on the waterproofing spray for it or whatever, but it was a bit of a rainy week, and so throughout the night, we'd see little pools of water start to develop in the corners of the tent. And this one particular night, it was one of the last nights we were supposed to be camping there. It was not only raining and pouring, but in Alberta, we get these crazy lightning and thunderstorms. And it's something that I haven't seen a lot since I moved to the valley, but we would get these crazy thunder and lightning storms. And this particular night, it was crazy. Like it felt like our tent was just being illuminated, like constantly. And not only that, it was like thunder that was almost instant. So we knew that the lightning was hitting close by. So not only is our tent leaking and it's just pooling with water, but also we're not even sure if we're going to make it through the night. You know, God might strike us with a bolt of lightning on our tent. Who knows? And if I'm sleeping in a puddle, I'm going, right? So all I can remember is, like, I was just a little kid. My dad just shoving all of us boys into the van, and he just, like, collapsed the tent as quick as he could, rolled it up into a ball, threw it in the garbage can, and we just drove home. And that was that for that tent. But I can remember great memories like that with my dad growing up. But the truth is, with being an earthly father, I can also think of some other memories with my dad that aren't so pleasant. I can remember times where maybe he lost his cool a little bit and got mad at me. Unnecessarily, in my opinion, or when maybe I did something that upset him and I got punished for it. And I can think of maybe fights with my mom that I overheard, or things that were said that to me, there's a great picture of what a father is. When I hear the words everlasting father, I think mostly pleasant memories. But there are some of those other things. And those other things tend to kind of downplay when we think of what God is like as a father. There's these negative connotations with that. And I know that there's some people in this room and there's people all over the world that for you, you actually haven't had a good example of what a father figure in your life is like. Maybe some of us have grown up without even having a father figure in our lives. You know, the United States Census Bureau came out with a study they did in 2014. And some of the stats they came out with regarding fatherhood are staggering. You know, in the U.S., and I know that we're in Canada, but I think that the stats are probably pretty close across the border. In the U.S., 1 in 3 children is growing up away from their biological father. They're growing up in a home without their biological father. There might be some other sort of father figure in the home, but they are not growing up with their biological father. 1 in 4, so 25% of young children are growing up without a father figure, period, in the home. 1 in 4. It's crazy. And you think about how this starts to affect a child as they develop, as they grow up. You know, students that grow up without a father in the home are 4 times more likely to grow up below the poverty line. If you're a student, if you're a girl, you are 7 times more likely to get pregnant as a teenager. And there's all sorts of other natural dispositions that come with that. There's behavioral problems, which can lead to abuse of drugs and alcohol, which can lead to crime, which of course can lead to prison. And these are all things that you're more susceptible to without knowing a father figure in your life. But I have good news this morning that regardless of where your earthly father would be or your experience with an earthly father, the Bible talks about how God is this heavenly father for us. And I believe that as we discover our heavenly paternity, that we will begin to uncover our eternal destiny in him. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to talk to you, I just want to break down what it means to have an everlasting father and break down how we carry in these experiences from our earthly fathers and how we kind of project those onto our heavenly father. Because I got to tell you, our heavenly father, our everlasting father is nothing like you have ever experienced here on planet Earth. And so we're going to talk through a story. It's a very common story that we hear preached on all the time. It's the story of the prodigal son. And I'm going to talk about this story not from the perspective, as preachers, we love to talk about this one and just call the prodigal home. And we're going to have an opportunity for that as well. But I want to tell this story kind of thinking through some of the ways, in the wrong ways, that these sons in the story would have viewed their father. And how we, likewise, sometimes view God in a slightly off way. And so if you have your Bible with you this morning, you can open it up. The story's in Luke 15. And we're going to have it on the screens for you as well. Luke 15, starting in verse 11. And it says this. I'm just kind of cutting in halfway through the verse. It says, a man had 2 sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there, he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. I want to stop right there, because this is our first kind of misconception, our first kind of false reality that we kind of project onto God. And we look at this story, and for most of us, you know, we would probably say that son is not a very good son, right? Like this, as far as this son is concerned, the only benefit his father is to him, the only benefit he's going to get out of that relationship with his father is what his dad can give him. Dad, what can you give me? His father is not even dead yet, but he's already asking, Dad, can I just have my inheritance? Like, you're pretty much dead to me anyways, so can you just give me what is mine, what I'm going to get one day anyways? Can you just give it to me? We'll part ways. I'll get out of your hair, and we'll go our separate ways. I'm not sure how the conversation goes. It's just a parable Jesus is telling. But you can imagine what kind of son walks up to his dad and says, Dad, just give me my inheritance now. And then takes it, and a few days later packs up, heads out of town, and just goes out partying. Not a very good son, in my opinion. But the crazy thing is this, is that we would look at that son and we would say, man, like he's just didn't even have a relationship with his dad, or did he just want his dad's money? But the way we sometimes approach our heavenly Father, our everlasting Father, is very similar. We come to God and we come with our shopping list of items that we need taken care of in our life, and then we walk away. And a few days later, maybe we go our own way too. And we go and spend our time in wild living. And just like this son, it's like he actually runs out of money. And at the same time, there's this famine that happens in the land. Oh man, that's bad timing. Not only can he not put bread on the table, but there's no bread he can even go and buy to put on the table. But how many times do we do the same thing where we come to God and there's not really any base relationship there at all? We have all these things that we want to see in our life, and we say, God, I need this. I need an A on my test. God, I need a new car. God, I need this promotion. God, I just need more money. God, can you just help my spouse to love me more? God, can you just help my parents to love me more? We come with all these things that we need when we don't really embrace relationship with God. Kind of reminds me of just the classic, like, teenage girl that's like, Daddy, can I have $20? You know? Like, that's kind of the approach that we take with God. It's like, Daddy, can I have an A on my report card? You know? And God wants so much more than that. God wants more than just, you know, I believe that God does delight in giving his kids good gifts. But he wants so much more than just to give you some good gifts. So often, we care more about what a relationship with God can give us than how it can change us. And so that's the first misconception that we're stopping there. Verse 15, he says, he persuaded a local farmer to hire him. So this guy's down on his luck. He's out of money, and he's got to go get a job. He convinces a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Can I just tell you something? If you don't know me, I was chatting with someone earlier today, and they didn't know this. I actually have a pet miniature pig. She's our firstborn, Dublin, and she is wonderful. However, there's one thing that grosses me out about her, and it's how she eats. Like, I mean, there's a reason they made a phrase that says, you eat like a pig, right? Because pigs can be messy when they eat. They just get in there, they just make a mess of whatever they're doing. I tell you, a couple weeks ago, my wife bought one of those big Costco-sized bags of veggie straws, you know, because we're trying to be healthy, you know, it's veggie straws. And Bernine's got this bag of veggie straws in our room, and she's just snacking as she's reading away. Well, she left the veggie straws within reach. And we come back into our room a couple hours later, and Dublin has eaten pretty much the whole thing. Like, she is a pig. She eats like a pig. I can't imagine this guy wants pig leftovers. Like, he's so desperate for something to eat, that he's willing to eat what these pigs are eating. Like, that's pretty low. So he comes to the point, he finally came to his senses, verse 17, and he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. Here I am, dying of hunger. I'm going to go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Stop right there. This is the second thing. This is the second misconception. Now, this is the part of the story that we as pastors love, because we love to preach on this story, because we love the reaction of the father and how the father runs. You know, it says, while he was still a far ways off, his father saw him, and filled with compassion, he ran and embraced him, and he hugged him and kissed him. And it was awesome, this great emotional moment, a tearjerker. But I want to talk about the son and where his head is still at in this moment. You see, he's come home. His dad's already embraced him. He's already kissed him and welcomed him back. And he's still in this mentality where he says, Father, I'm not worthy of being called your son. And it's the same thing that he had said to himself when he was hanging out in the pigsty. Father, I'm not worthy of being called your son. Let me ask you this. Where do we get off thinking that all of a sudden we can earn the right to be called God's kids? When did our relationship with God become all about us and how we can earn our way into the family? And that's the mentality this guy has with his dad, where he says, Dad, I'm not worthy. I've just misbehaved. I've been doing all this bad stuff. What about the father and how the father had already kissed that away, had already hugged that away, said, Son, I'm just glad you're home. And how many times do we have the same mentality of the son, where we think, man, like, I'm just so unworthy. And a lot of times we don't make that turn in our hearts like the prodigal did where he comes home. A lot of times we make mistakes. Some of us, we make a lot of mistakes. And we get this feeling of unworthiness. We get this dirty feeling in our hearts. And we come to God and we feel like, God, I've done nothing to deserve this. Well, great. Because you're never going to be able to earn it. You're never going to be able to deserve what God has given us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:9 says, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so that no one can boast about it. God's grace is not about what we can do for him. It's about everything that he has done for us. Yes. And when we can, there's a mental shift that needs to happen there. And I'm not saying we go about in wild living like the prodigal son all of a sudden and knowing, well, I'm never going to earn God's grace anyways, so I'm just going to party it up, and I'm still, because I know that God still calls me worthy, that grace is free and all that good stuff. God still calls us to holy living. But that's just simply so we can have greater intimacy with him. Because when we mess up, when we make those mistakes, it's not God running away from us. It's us running away from God. And he's already done everything that he possibly can to bridge the gap between you and me and him. But it's up to us to just walk that and say, yes, God, I receive that. But it's not about what I'm doing. It's about what you have done. It's about Christmas. It's about him sending Jesus down to earth as a man to die on a cross to take away the penalty of our sin. Simple as that. There's nothing you can do to earn that. Nothing. And if you spend the rest of your life trying to, you're going to be sorely disappointed. So the son comes back, and his father says to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill that fat calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast for this son. Notice how he says, this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, touch your neighbor and say, meanwhile. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother's back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't even go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. Seriously? Like, seriously, Dad? Here I've never messed up. I've done everything you've asked. And never once have I felt like you've given me all this extra stuff. And then your son over here takes his inheritance early, completely squanders it, blows it all, and then he comes back with his tail between his legs, and you just welcome him back? Not only that, but you give him like a ring and a robe and like you kill the fattened calf, that one that we were waiting for a special occasion for. This is the special occasion, really? This is our third point, folks, where if you've been in church any length of time, you know, a year, 2 years, 10 years, 30 years, This is the mentality that we struggle with. Because it's great when you first come to know Jesus and you understand grace for the first time and mercy and how everything that he's done for you, you know, and you have that moment where you discover relationship with Jesus and it's all fresh and there's passion and there's life and you're just digging into the word and you're reading scripture and you're spending time in prayer and you're seeing all these incredible things happen in your life. There's miracles happening. There's just all this stuff. But over time, it can be easy for you to just kind of get used to the rhythm and the structure of what Christianity is. You go to church on Sunday. You know, if you're really keen, you read your Bible throughout the week. Maybe spend some time listening to some worship music on the way to work, you know. Maybe, just maybe, if a conversation comes up and it kind of just goes that way, you start to talk to God, to your neighbor or your coworker about God, and you bring them into the conversation. Maybe, just maybe, you throw the invite out there to come to Christmas Eve service, you know, or something like that. But we get used to this structure, and there's this complacency at times that can kind of leak into our heart. When God has so much more for us. And then we see these other people sometimes that come into our lives, or we hear testimonies here at Northgate about these people that come from these rough backgrounds and they were headed down a terrible road. And all of a sudden, God met them on that road and there was this great conversion story and there's this powerful testimony of how God is now using them. And we look at those people and we say, that's great, God, but what about me? Here I've been for 10 years, 15, 20 years, and I got needs too. I got these things I want to see. I want you to move in my life like that. But what about me? What about me, God? Here's what the father says to that mentality. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Look, dear son, dear daughter, everything I have is yours. Can't help but wonder if we just get stuck in our structure because it's something we know we can control. But when God calls us to adventure and to risk and to step out in faith, man, that's something that I can't control. That's something that's a little more unsafe. And I can't help but wonder if maybe the reason that we're not seeing all these things, we're not seeing God do these things for us, is because we're just not really pursuing that hard, because we've gotten a little complacent. And when we see these other stories, it lights a fire under us, and it kind of convicts that complacency in our hearts, because we hear, once again, God calling us to something greater. This Christian life, this journey with Jesus, is about a lot more than just reading your Bible every day. A chapter a day keeps the devil away, and then you show up to church on Sunday, and you put up your Christmas tree, and you read the Christmas story before Christmas, and all these things, and then it's okay. Our Christian life with God is about so much more than that. God has miracles that he wants to do through your life. And I'm not talking about a miracle where it's like, whoa, I got out of bed at 6:30 this morning. What a miracle. I'm talking about legitimate miracles. I'm talking about a Holy Spirit that God wants to deposit into your life that is going to release power through you to do miraculous things around you. God wants you to be God wants you to be a wonderful counselor for people around you. God's come down. We talked about it at youth on Wednesday. We talked about how God's come down kind of like this superhero into our world to save us. But he has now released his spirit into your life so that you can also go and be a superhero for someone else. And we miss out on that when we get so tied just to the structure and the rhythms of Christianity. And with these last two things, with getting tied to the structure and getting tied to that mentality of feeling worthy or unworthy, these are dangerous things, because here's what happens. We're human. And these are things that we are always going to falter on. We're always going to make mistakes, no matter how hard you try. And I'm not trying to be fatalistic here, but the reality of the situation is that we are broken people, and we will make mistakes. But what happens if our worthiness of being called a son or a daughter of God is based on our performance? Then what happens when you make a mistake? That, I guess you're out. I guess, God, I'm out. I made a mistake. I'm out, you know. Oh, I broke from my, I missed church a couple times, so I'm out. You know, and we do all these things, and we can wander away from God in those things to the point where life isn't working out. And then all of a sudden, instead of feeling like we're a part of the family of God, it feels like God is working against us. And it's like, God, are you even on my team anymore? Because it feels like I'm just hitting my head against the brick wall here and I'm going nowhere. There's something powerful about knowing that your heavenly, everlasting Father is on your team and he's in your corner cheering you on. Worship team, you can come on up. I can remember when I was in grade 10. I played a lot of high school basketball, and I can remember in grade 10, my team made it to the finals of what would be considered like all of Vancouver Island, like when they all get together and it's like the best of the best on the island. My team made it to that tournament. It's called the Zone Finals. And the tournament itself was actually quite a ways away. It was like a 2-hour drive. And we were playing this team that we had actually just played in our division final the week before, and we had lost to them. And so the stakes were high. We knew we had a very formidable enemy that we were playing against. And And I remember phoning my parents when we knew we were going to the finals and say, hey, Mom and Dad, we're going to the finals. I can remember my parents saying, hey, we're going to drive up and watch. And you know, there's just something about when your parents show up to your biggest moments in life, you know, where it's like you just kind of rise to the occasion a little more. There's just something that rises up in you where you get excited. And let me tell you what, I played one of the best games of my high school life, that game, knowing that my dad was up in the stands watching me. And there's some of us this morning where you are in one of the biggest games or the biggest moments of your life, it feels. And you feel like, if I could just know that I had a heavenly Father in the stands cheering me on, I know I could get through this. I got good news for you this morning. God's not just in the stands watching you and cheering you on. He's in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the game with you, saying, let's do this. Let's get through this. So I don't know where your relationship is at with your heavenly, everlasting Father this morning. But I know this. We all, when it comes to our relationship with God, we all got daddy issues. I know I have daddy issues. That last point right there shakes me to my core. Where I get so caught up in this rhythm of faith and just practice that I forget that God has so much more out there for me. That God has miracles waiting on the other side of my obedience. That God wants more than just my obedience. He wants me to actually experience who He is. And so I would wonder where you would be at this morning. Maybe you feel like the prodigal did at first, where you've just been treating your relationship with God like this cosmic vending machine, like, God, just give me what I need. Can I tell you, God wants a full-on relationship with you. God wants so much more for you than just giving you those little things that you ask for. And maybe your mentality this morning is, man, I've messed up so bad. I've made some huge mistakes, and I'm not worthy of being called a son or a daughter of God anymore. Can I just encourage you right now that you are a son or daughter of God, not because of what you do, but because of who He is. Has nothing to do with you earning your way into the family. He's already made a way for you, and it's on Him. It's not on you. So just come as you are. I thought of this phrase. He wants to take you from the pigsties and bring you into the family ties. You know? Yeah, you can tweet that if you want, whatever. But God wants to heal that. And that's something we're going to fight for a long time. Because this kingdom that we're a part of, this family that we're a part of, is not like an earthly family. He's an everlasting heavenly Father. And if you're caught in that structure, if you're like, man, I've been going to church for 20 years and I've heard all these stories and whatever, and maybe God's just lit a fire under you a bit this morning and you're saying, man, I need to actually start pursuing God a little harder. I want to actually see some of these miracles that you're talking about. I want to see greater things come out of my life. I want to see my friends. I want to see my unsaved family come to know Jesus. I want to see miracles happening in the streets, literally, in the middle of Walmart, in the middle of, it could be out when you're fishing on the ocean, wherever. I want to see miracles take place in my life. So if you can relate to any of this morning, I just want us to, God knows your heart. God knows where you're at. God knows some of the things that have been triggered in your heart this morning. And so I'm not going to ask for every head to be bowed and every eye closed, because I think there's powerful stuff when we just get vulnerable with each other and we just admit that we got daddy issues. And so if you got a daddy issue this morning that I can pray for you for, just put up your hand and let's just be real this morning. I'm putting my hand up not just to show you what to do, but because I have daddy issues too. And so, yeah, thanks. If you've got your hand up, we see it. It's great all over this room. Thank you. Great. You can put your hands down. And if you're like, you know what? I'm too scared to even put my hand up right now. That's okay. I'm going to pray for you too. So let's pray. God, man, we thank you that you're a father like we will never know here on planet Earth. The relationship that we have with you is just something completely different. And God, I thank you. I thank you that our relationship with you has nothing to do with the talents or the gifts or the obedience that we can bring, but it's everything to do with what you've done through Jesus Christ, God. I thank you that in addition to having these family ties, your desire is for us to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, to walk in miracles, to walk in just believing for greater things, God. I pray that faith would increase in this place this morning, where we've gotten caught up in the routine of just doing Christianity, that you would stir us up, you would push us off the ledge and out into a place where our faith needs to hold us. God, we love you. We love you so much. I pray that our love for you would grow as we discover more of your love, God. This is something that only you can do. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you just quicken it in all of our hearts, that you just bring fresh revelation of what it means to be a son and a daughter of God this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's sing and let's celebrate our everlasting Father this morning.